Now, this morning, I'm continuing my series on the fruit of the Spirit, but next Sunday morning, the Sunday before Christmas, I'm going to be preaching on Joseph. I've never done that before. I want to look at the life of Mary's husband and just try to see what the Word of God says about what he must have felt when this lady that said to him, and he was engaged to her at the time, "I'm pregnant." Okay, so what does he think? I want to look at that. I want to examine Joseph from a lot of biblical angles next Sunday morning. Let's pray together before we get into the message. We love you, Father. We thank you for your grace. We pray that today, as a result of being in this place, that all of us would be blessed and edified and uplifted in our hearts. May we come to know you more deeply. May we understand your heart for us more clearly. And I pray that as a result of being here today, that all of us would leave here more deepened in our faith, more mature as saints, ready to impact this world for you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, and let's read together verses 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So far in this series on the fruit of the Spirit, we've seen that the Holy Spirit, once he comes into our lives, he is endeavoring to produce in us love, joy, peace, and patience. We've examined those four characteristics of the believer, those four qualities that are manifest in his or her life once the Holy Spirit indwells his or her body. This morning, I want us to look at the next fruit, which is kindness. Of the nine fruit of the Spirit, I would say that kindness is the most difficult one to define. I think even Webster had a difficult time trying to succinctly capture the meaning of kindness because he used so many words to do so. Look at how he defined kind. He says, kind is being sympathetic, gentle, tender-hearted, and generous. He went on to point out in smaller print that kind implies the possession of sympathetic or generous qualities, either habitually or specifically, or is applied to actions manifesting these. Now, whenever he said, is applied to actions manifesting these, I think he was hitting upon a very profound point. Because as I've studied biblical kindness this week, biblical kindness is always an emotion that results in an action. It is one thing to feel love. It is another thing to reach out. It's one thing to have the emotion of love. It's another thing to make a decision to reach out to someone and meet a need as a result of this love. And so really, when we're talking about kindness, we're talking about love in action. So as we study kindness this morning, try to understand that what God is saying is this. Listen, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. Out of the Holy Spirit is going to overflow love in your life. But it is not to be just an emotion. It is to be an action. It is to be something that people see. You are going to touch lives, meet needs. You are going to go to people who are hurting, and people who are distressed, people who need you. You're going to reach out to them through the Holy Spirit. I think that kindness is absolutely one of the most difficult virtues in all of the world to define, and yet all of us know what it is. We know when a person is kind, person as being mean, don't we? I mean, all of us know it. We may not be able to put it into words, but we know when someone is being kind to us. The world is hungry for kindness. Maybe of all of the fruit of the Spirit that we have, maybe kindness is the single most important characteristic that you and I can express to an unbelieving world. Because as we are kind to the world, they see Jesus in us. We're living in a dark, dark world, as Lee pointed out this morning. And what Jesus wants to do through us is he wants to shine his light through us. And one of the ways that he does that is when we are kind. If you don't think that the world is hungry for kindness, consider this. In 1982, there was a writer and activist by the name of Ann Herbert. She coined a simple phrase, you've heard it before, random acts of kindness. This idea took root, and then it took off. In 1992, there was a book that was written by that title, and here was the thought of the book. Imagine what would happen if there were an outbreak of kindness in the world, if everybody did just one thing on a daily basis that was kind. Wouldn't it be powerful? Wouldn't it be powerful if every single day of your life, no matter how old you are, whether you're 5 or 55 or 95, that you would wake up in the morning, you would say, today, before I lay my head on that pillow, I'm going to be kind to someone. But it's not going to be just an emotion. I am going to express it. I'm going to touch someone's life through giving to them because of Jesus. And so this concept of practicing random acts of kindness became so popular that in 1997, there were more than 500 communities all over the world that practiced this random act of kindness week. You know, I probably everyone in this room has been driving down the road and you've seen the bumper sticker, right? Practice random acts of kindness. I've seen it probably 100 times. If you've ever seen that bumper sticker, please just raise your hand. I want to see it. Many, many people here. I think that bumper sticker probably only comes in second to the bumper sticker in the South that says, my kid beat up your honor child. But you know how the South is. We just have to give them a little bit of grace. Well, I want us to look at the Greek word that is translated kindness in the New Testament. So this Greek word, according to the Bag Lexicon, defines it as the quality of being helpful or beneficial, goodness, kindness, and generosity. And then the Bible Sense Lexicon says it this way, it's the quality of being warm-hearted, of considerate, humane, gentle, and sympathetic. As I've studied these 9 fruit of the Spirit over the weeks, one of the things that is so striking about each one of them is that each fruit of the Spirit is really a characteristic of God. Each fruit of the Spirit is like looking at God from different angles. It's like taking a diamond and turning it around and looking at 9 different facets of the same diamond. Let's hear how the Word describes our Heavenly Father. Romans 2:4. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? What is Paul saying? He's saying that God is so amazingly kind in his heart that he shows this kind of kindness toward unrepentant people over and over and over again when he can judge them. He stretches out this kindness so long when he should be judging them that he gives them long periods of time in grace to bring them to repentance. And what is it that brings them ultimately to repentance? It's when they finally see God cares about me. See, that is the message of the church. You and I, whether we are in high school or in college or in our careers, we have a task. And the task is to tell everyone there is a God who loves you. And he proved it through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ wanted us to know the heart of our Heavenly Father. Here's what he said about the Father's heart in Luke chapter 6, verses 35 and 36. But love your enemies. Do good to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. What is he saying? He's saying, look, I want to tell you about my Father. My Father is kind. Isn't that amazing? That the Lord Jesus Christ, in a message, said to people listening, let me give you a snapshot of the Father's heart. Here it is. Click. He's kind. That's who he is in his heart. That's who he is in his nature. And so if that is true, and it's certainly true because it's based upon the Word of God, our Heavenly Father is so kind that it is unthinkable when his sons and daughters are unkind. It should never be the way you and I act toward one another, since we have a Heavenly Father who is so very kind. Well, this morning I want us to look at two keys for understanding kindness from God's perspective. First, kindness is one of the supreme qualities God demands from his people. And I do mean demands. The Heavenly Father demands that you, as his child, are a kind human being. He demands it, but he empowers you to do so if you will depend upon the Holy Spirit. But it is not something that the Father kind of wants you to have. It is not something that the Father will tolerate if you don't have it. Listen to the way the prophet Micah described it in Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. And so here is the prophet Micah, a contemporary of Isaiah. And here is a man who said, look, let me see if I can make this simple for you. Let me see if I can just tell you what God wants of his people. He wants us to practice justice and kindness among each other. And he wants us to walk humbly with him. I love it when people make things simple. And how simple is that? That the Heavenly Father wants us to be just and kind to others, and he wants us to walk in humility with himself. Kindness leaves an indelible impression on a person's life. Do you know that there are some psychologists that say that a decade or a couple of decades later, the one thing that a child remembers about his interactions with an adult is whether that adult was kind or not. Can you believe that? And of all of the things they remember about an adult, it's this. He was kind, or he wasn't kind. There is this Jewish rabbi by the name of Abraham Joshua Heschel. He was a leading rabbi in the 20th century, and one of the greatest Jewish philosophers of that century. When I was in my doctoral program, my advisor in the program was a guy that wanted to be a rabbi. And he was a Jewish man. What a great mind he had. like when we were younger, we were so caught up in people who tend to be smart, who tend to be able to have an answer for everything. But the older we get, the more we are attracted to people who are simply kind. And so this is a requirement. It is a demand from our Heavenly Father that we, as children of this kind God, be kind. Secondly, Christians are called to model God's kindness. There are commands sprinkled throughout the New Testament that the Holy Spirit wants to penetrate our heart with, that show us over and over again our Father saying, "Child, I want you to be kind." Listen to Ephesians 4:32. "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." Or Paul in Colossians 3:12 says this, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." So to the Ephesian church, Paul says, "Be kind." To the Colossian church, Paul says, "I want you to put on this clothing of kindness." It's interesting because this word "put on" was actually used of the robe that the king would put on before standing before the people and giving his great proclamations. So whenever the people saw the king, what was the dominant thing they saw? They saw this majestic robe. And I think that's exactly what Paul has in his mind when he says, "Clothe yourselves with kindness." He's saying when people look at you, the dominant thing that they should see is kindness. When people see you, they should realize that you are a woman of kindness. You are a man who is kind to everyone. The Greek word for kind is krestos. Let's think about this together. The Greek word for kind is krestos. The Greek word for Christ is Christos. So at the beginning of Christianity, when people didn't know what was going on and when it began to spread throughout the Roman Empire, there was some confusion from people about this new group of Christians, because sometimes it sounded as if they were people who were following Christos, Christ. And at other times, it sounded as if there were people who were Christos, kind. That's not a bad confusion, is it? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I would confuse the world by being so kind that it would be the dominant thing that they would know about us? I'm telling you, kindness gives credibility to our witness Christ. I want to tell you a story that I read this week for the first time, and it really touched my heart. It's about Alan Emery. Alan Emery was a very successful businessman, but he also spent a lot of time providing leadership to many Christian organizations. He was known as a man, he was known as a man who was very shrewd in business, and yet he was very, very kind. And he points it back to his father. He recalls taking this long trip on a train, and it was a trip that was a couple of weeks. One morning in the dining car, he heard his father talking about this porter who had a limp as he was walking down the aisles of the train. And he was concerned about him. Well, when his father asked the porter about what was going on, it turned out that he was suffering only from an infected, ingrown toenail. Later in the morning, the son, Alan, was very surprised as which his parents slept, and he noticed that the porter was coming out of that car. And when the porter walked past the boy, he had this distressed look on his face. And as he passed by, there were tears that were coming down his face, and they were hot tears. Well, the porter went to the men's lounge, and he put his hands over his face, and he cried. Well, Alan, the little boy, sat down beside of him, and he asked him the question, "Are you crying because your toe hurts?" And the man said, "No, it was because of your daddy." Well, with great concern, Alan pressed the man for the story. Well, his parents had returned from breakfast, and immediately they approached the porter, asking about his toe. Mr. Emery, the father, explained that he wasn't a doctor, but that he might be able to help him. And so he had the porter sit down in his room. He removed his shoe and his sock. He carefully lanced the infected toe. He cleaned it, and he carefully bandaged it. He said, "It doesn't hurt at all now." And he says, "It feels fine now." Well, Alan asked him, "Then why are you crying?" And this is what he said. "Well, while your daddy was dressing my toe, he asked me if I loved the Lord Jesus. I told him my mother did, but I didn't really believe like she believed. And then he told me that Jesus loved me and that Jesus had died for me." He said, "As I saw your daddy just carefully bandaging my foot, I saw a love that was Jesus' love. And I knew that I could believe it. And so we got down on our knees there in his car, and we prayed. And now I know an important lesson, that Jesus loves me, and that he really does care for me." And then the porter burst into tears again, and Alan said, "Why are you crying?" And he said, "You know, boy, kindness can make you cry. It's so true. Kindness can make you cry. If you want to make an impact on this world for Jesus, if you want to pierce the darkness with the light of Christ, be kind. Not only have this heart of love and compassion for a lost world, but penetrate the darkness with acts of kindness. Make sure that your love is an action. When I think about the kindness of the Heavenly Father, I think that the greatest act of kindness that he ever displayed was sending his Son Jesus to the earth. We believe, based upon the revelation in the Word of God, in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we believe, based upon this revelation, that one day the Father sent his Son to this earth. And the Son was born of a virgin, so that in this one person, Jesus Christ, he was both God and man. He was fully human, and he was fully divine. He was God and man. Everything that you have ever been tempted with in your life, he was tempted with. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth for one purpose, and that was he wanted to solve our problem. We were separated from God. We were alienated from him. We were away from him. Not only were we sinners by nature, we were sinners by choice. God created us to have a relationship with him. But this relationship with him was utterly impossible in the condition in which we found ourselves. Because he is so perfect, and yet we are imperfect. So how could that be solved? It was Jesus Christ going to the cross and taking our sin upon himself and being punished for what we had done. That is the love of the Heavenly Father. The Father loves you so much that every single thing you have ever done, whether it be in word or in action or in attitude or in reaction, Jesus took it upon himself. The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 53 said that the Father smote the Son on the cross, so that literally Jesus was being punished for what we had done. Listen to the way Paul writes this to Titus. He says this, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy." There's that word again. Here is the word that defines the heart of God. Here is the word that, if you want a snapshot of who God is, here it is. He's kind. Yes, he's loving. And that love is deeper and wider and higher and more phenomenal than any of us can ever conceive. And yet, he always acts on that love because he is kind. I'll close with this. There was a former president that all of us know and have heard of by the name of William McKinley. McKinley was once planning to appoint an ambassador to a foreign country. But there were two candidates that appeared to be equally qualified. So McKinley was racking his brain for some yardstick by which he would make this very difficult decision. He later confided in someone that the self-centeredness of one guy and the kindness of the other guy was his deciding factor. And here's how he knew it. Many years before, when McKinley was still a representative in Congress, he said that he boarded a streetcar at rush hour and managed to get the very last vacant seat. There was this older woman who worked at a laundry. She entered shortly after he did, and she was carrying this heavy basket of clothes. She walked the length of the car and stood in the aisle, hardly able to even keep her balance as the streetcar swayed from side to side in its trip down the tracks. No one offered her a seat. One of the men that the president was considering for ambassador was sitting opposite where she was standing. McKinley noticed that he shifted his newspaper in such a way that he didn't even have to look. And so as McKinley, many years later, was trying to decide, who do I choose? He remembered this act of selfishness by this man, and he chose the other man, because the other man was evidently kind. Think about it. Here is a man, because of one act of selfishness, the course of his life could have been totally different. He could have literally been one of the most honored Americans by representing our President of the United States. But you and I represent the King of Kings. You and I represent the Heavenly Father. You and I represent the God who spoke the universe into existence. And he wants us to reflect who he is by being kind. Maybe today, one of the best ways for you to apply this message is to ask your wife or your husband or your son or your daughter or your mom or your dad, just out of curiosity, do you think I'm kind? Am I being kind to you? No, be honest. Am I being kind? Because I believe that you are never more like Jesus than when you're kind. Let's stand together for the invitation as we reflect upon the message this morning. Jesus may be pressing upon your heart to come and to kneel before him and to pray. I want to give you the opportunity right now to come and pray about whatever is on your heart over the next couple of moments, and then I'll close in prayer. Our dear Father, we love you. We thank you for the kindness that you showed to us in Christ. Thank you that you demonstrated this love by sending your only Son to the cross to die for our sins. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. I pray that we would represent you well in this world. May we be people of kindness. In Jesus' name.